Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
And I absolutely love Katie's story. I mean, God is moving. You know what? I miss being with your church. And you know what else I miss? I miss restaurants. I mean, what a gift it is to be around a table with some good friends and a good meal. And our hearts hurt for our friends in the service industry whose lives have just been turned upside down by this crisis. We want you to know we're praying for you. And I love it when you're at a restaurant and they bring you bread. Anybody else love bread? I mean, I've never met a loaf of bread that I didn't want to butter. But I mean, it doesn't matter. It can be sourdough or rye or wheat, all of it. But even though restaurants are closed, we're still making and eating bread. I read this past week that the number of people Googling how to make bread has hit an all-time high. And I think it's, one, you can make it from home, and we're home. And two, it takes time, and we got time. And three, it's delicious. Back in 2012, I went on a diet where I didn't eat bread for an entire year. And that was dumb, because bread is good. Right? And I'm just saying, don't judge me, because Jesus ate bread, and Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, which is technically heaven endorsing carbs in our life. But when Jesus says, pray for daily bread, he wasn't just talking about bread. He was talking about all of our provision. He was talking about food, shelter, clothing, everything we need. And he's teaching us that you're not on your own. You have a Father who's in heaven who will care for you. He won't give us what we greed, but he promises that he will give us what we need. And when the disciples heard that phrase, daily bread, they would have thought of the Exodus, where after Passover, Moses leads Israel out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. And it was in the wilderness where they started to complain because there's not grain in the desert. And they said, Moses, did you bring us out here to starve us to death? And God says, Moses, I want you to tell them, I will provide. And in the morning when they walk outside, they're gonna find food on the ground. They'll find these tiny little flakes of bread. And inside this substance will be the sustenance, all the sustenance they need, the vitamins, the minerals, the proteins, everything they need. And every single day I will provide for that day. They can't keep it. They can't store it. They just have to trust that tomorrow I'll provide for tomorrow. And they called that bread, they called it manna. Now, in Hebrew, the word manna means what is it? So for 40 years, God provided for his people in ways that they couldn't explain, but they couldn't deny. And he wanted them to know, I am your provider. Now, this is timely because we want to know, especially at a time like this, who's going to provide for us? I went to the grocery store the other day to get some chicken and they were out. And we're just not used to that in our country. I felt kind of this sense of fear rise up. Like I had to remind myself, Kevin, they're not out of food. They're just out of the food you want, which created this sense of anxiety or a sense of fear and this question like, do I have enough? Who's going to provide for us? And God says, I am. Now, I am is how God introduces himself. It's how he introduced himself to Moses. Moses said, who should I tell them sent me? And God said, I am. I am who I am. And when Jesus shows up, he introduces himself as I am. In the Gospel of John, we've been looking at these I am statements, these seven I am statements that God gives us. Jesus tells us, I am the vine and I am the light and I am the gate and I am the shepherd and I am the way, the truth, and the life and I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 6, he gives us the first one. He says, I am the bread of life. So I want you to turn there with me. We're going to look at it together. And just to kind of set things up in John chapter 6, Jesus' ministry has begun. He's called disciples to himself. He's touring around, teaching, preaching. There's healing, there are miracles, and this huge crowd is following him. And in verse 1 is where we read John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. And then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked, this is only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Now, let me ask you a question. What time of year is it? Verse 4 tells us that the Jewish Passover festival was near. See, Passover starts on April 8th, so it's now, it's this time of year. And Passover is the largest festival of the year. It's the time of year when they would remember what God did through Moses. They would remember about the wilderness. They would remember about how God delivered them. And then they would look forward to the Messiah. And John is telling us that there are 5,000 men who have shown up. So when you add in women and children, it puts this crowd over 15,000 people. There is a Bridgestone Arena-sized crowd coming to Jesus, and they're hungry. Like, they're getting hangry. I mean, Jesus asked the question, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip says, we can't feed them. Like, it would take a half a year's salary to give everybody just an appetizer, to give everybody just a bite. And Philip did the math, and the math doesn't work. Have you ever done the math, and the math doesn't work? I mean, you got more month than money. You got more bills than bank. You got more rain in your life than the rainy day fund. And God has called you to it, but you just don't know how to make it work. You need a miracle. Have you ever been there? Some of you are there right now. A couple years ago, I was in another country with a pastor. We were in a developing world country. And for about an hour, I listened to him tell stories of miracles that he'd seen firsthand. And I asked him, why don't you think we see miracles like that in America? And he said, I don't mean to offend you, but in your country, prayer is a last resort. But for us, it's a first response. That may have been true then, but I don't think it's true now. Because I believe that there's a spiritual awakening that's happened in our country. Like, we're waking up to our need for God. Our need for God has not increased, but the awareness of our need for God has increased. See, you don't realize how much you need oxygen until it's hard to breathe. And this little boy recognized the need for food. And he shows up and he brings Jesus his lunch. He brings these 5 loaves and 2 fish and he puts them in Jesus' hands and Jesus works a miracle. But what kind of bread was it? Do you remember? Barley. Now, why does John give us that detail? Because wealthy people ate wheat. Barley was the grain that was fed to animals and to the poor. John wants us to know that this boy, that he grew up and that he lived in poverty. And when he gave his meal, it's likely that he didn't know where he was going to get his next one. But he puts it in Jesus' hands, and Jesus has everybody sit down. All the people sit down in families, kind of like we're sitting in families in our living rooms today. And then look what happens in verse 11. It says, "And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted." He did the same with the fish. Jesus took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave it away. Now I want you to see what preceded this miracle. First, there was someone who was willing to share. And second, Jesus gave thanks. Now you might think, I can't multiply things. I mean, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if we could multiply things these days? I mean, if we could multiply food and multiply Clorox wipes and multiply hand sanitizer and multiply toilet paper, but we can't multiply things. Only God can do that. But you know what we can do? We can share and we can give thanks. And maybe that's a miracle in our day and in our culture when you find somebody who shares and somebody who gives thanks. And giving thanks to God is something that we have to do because giving thanks to God gives us eyes to see the goodness of God. Giving thanks when we break bread breaks the back of entitlement, and opens us up to receive the blessing. See, in verse 12, look with me. It says, when they had enough to eat, they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, how many baskets did they fill up? 12. How many disciples were there? 12. See, Jesus wanted each disciple to get in on the action. He wanted each of them to have a story to tell. Now, remember, there were leftovers. Why is that important? Because with manna, leftovers didn't work. But with Jesus, everybody gets a take-home bag. John wants us to know that Jesus isn't just another Moses, that he's the Messiah. He's better than anything we've ever known, and he just keeps getting better. Verse 14, look with me. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who's come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, why did they want to make him king? Because he gave them food. Like, who doesn't want a king who fills their bellies? But Jesus resists their political play because he didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to set up an eternal kingdom. So Jesus withdrew. He sneaks away. He gets away. Once again, sneaky Jesus, right? Jesus preferred to be alone with the Father than have the approval of thousands. Jesus knew something that we need to learn and that we need to know. There is no size crowd that can satisfy the soul. See, the next day, the crowd tracks him down on the other side of the lake, and Jesus looks at him. He's like, I know why you're here. You're here because you want food. You don't want me. You just want another meal. You want a miracle. And so then he tells him, he's like, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures. For the food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. In other words, don't spend your life chasing things that can never satisfy, but go after what will satisfy your heart. And what Jesus is telling them is what he's telling to us. He's telling us something we already know. He's saying, you're hungry. And like, we know that we're hungry. That's why we eat even when we're full. How many of you blew through your quarantine snacks, a month of quarantine snacks, like that first weekend? Me too. Because we're hungry. But it's not just food. We consume things and stuff and possessions and YouTube and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and games and movies and binge watch and purchase stuff on Amazon Prime. We devour accomplishments and relationships and achievements as fast as we can. And over the past couple weeks, we've taken in more food and more media and more news and more content than we've ever consumed. And we're less satisfied than we've ever been. And our pantries and the boxes on our porch and our screen time on our phone tells the story of our hearts that we're hungry. One philosopher said that the neediness of our hearts is a pointer to God. What he's saying is the fact that we have desires in this world that are greater than the things of this world are an indication that we were made for more than this world. We were made for God. Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our hearts. What that means is that there's a space in your heart that's meant for God, that only God can fill. And you can spend your whole life trying. You can spend your whole life chasing, but it will never be filled because eternal longings can never be satisfied with temporary things. And these days, so many of those temporary things have just been stripped away. And many of us are more aware of this hole in our hearts than we've ever been. And so we understand when the crowd asked Jesus, they ask him, what must we do the works God requires? What must we do to get this bread? And Jesus says this, he says, the work God requires is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus said, it's not about your work. It's not about what you can do. You can't earn this bread. You can't buy this bread. You can't make this bread, but come to me, put your trust in me, believe in me. And they're like, okay, Jesus, we want that bread. But they're not thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about those barley loaves they ate the day before. And then Jesus tells them, look at verse 35. Look with me. And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." God, what Jesus is saying is that he's the bread of life. He's saying, "I'm your portion. In me is everything you need. I'm your sustenance. I'm your strength. There is no satisfaction apart from me. I'm your identity. I'm your security. I'm your peace." What Jesus wants you to know at this moment in human history in your life, he's saying, "I am enough for you." That Christ is enough for you. Can you just say that with me? Just whisper that. Christ is enough for me. Can you just say it out loud? Christ is enough for me. And that may have felt weird to say out loud in your living room. And that may have felt weird to say out loud if you're watching alone. But you need to know your heart needs to hear you say that. Because the question that hangs around in our head at a time like this is, am I enough? I mean, maybe you look in the bank app on your phone and you wonder, do I have enough? Or you look in the pantry and you think, do I have enough? Or you scroll through social media and you're comparing yourself to all the other people you see and you're wondering, am I enough? Wondering as a parent, am I doing enough right now? Homeschooling my kids, will they be homeless because I can't figure out Common Core math? Like, am I doing enough? And will I have enough work? And am I enough at work? And everything is new with this virtual and using technology like we're using. We're just, for many of us, we're going, am I enough? And the enemy would love us to be on a treadmill of am I enough? Trying to earn, trying to measure up, trying to find approval, acceptance, success, trying to get the bread that never satisfies. And am I enough is the wrong question. The question is Christ enough? And Jesus says, I am. And when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I'm enough for you. In these three ways. First, Jesus wants you to know, I'm enough for today. So come to me. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's an invitation and a promise. The invitation is that anybody can come, no matter where you've been or what you've done or what's happened to you. Jesus said, you can come to me. And the promise is this. He says, I will never drive you away. Jesus has never rejected anyone that's come to him, and he's not going to start today. And just like in the manna in the wilderness, that it met the daily physical requirements that they had. Jesus meets the requirements of our soul in the wilderness that we're in right now. My friend Chip, he's a big old man, and he says our hearts are needy things. See, our hearts need security and significance and attention and support and belonging and freedom and safety and trust. And having needs in our hearts doesn't mean that we're broken. It just means that we're human. See, Jesus wants us to bring our needs to him so he can satisfy our hearts so that we have something to give to other people. And Jesus' invitation is, whatever you need, come to me. When you need peace, come to me. When you need direction, come to me. When you're confused, come to me. When you need the strength to get out of bed because you can't even pull yourself out of bed, come to me. When things are sideways in your marriage, come to me. When your kids are driving you crazy, like, go lock yourself in the closet and come to me. When you feel like a failure, come to me. And maybe you're like Katie and you got a lot of fear and worry and anxiety in your world. And Jesus says, come to me. Whatever you need today, Christ is enough, and he will never drive you away. And second, Jesus wants you to know, I'm enough for you for tomorrow. Trust in me. See, Jesus is outside of time and space, and he knows what's coming tomorrow, and he's not worried. He's not wringing his hands. See, worry is like trying to solve tomorrow's problems with today's bread. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Think about the birds. They're not worried. Heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more will he take care of you? I think about this a lot when I sit out on my porch early in the morning, like 4:30, I sit on the porch in the dark and I can hear the birds singing. My friend John told me the reason that the birds sing in the dark in the morning is they let their mate know that they made it through the night. So I've started waking Rhea up early in the morning with a song. I just sing over her just to let her know that I'm made. I don't do that. But I do sit out on the porch and I listen to the birds. I pulled up this app on my phone, this Smart Bird ID app, where I can turn it on and it records the sound and it identifies the bird. It's like, that's a cardinal, that's a dove. It tells me what bird is singing in the dark. And you can identify the followers of Jesus because they're the ones singing in the dark too. Even in the darkness, we're the ones who are sharing and giving and loving and serving and praising God because we know that we can trust Christ and that He is enough for tomorrow. And third, Jesus wants you to know, I'm enough for eternity. Believe in me. He says in John chapter 6, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. So how do we look to the Son? How do we look to one that we can't see? Well, we know how to look to the stock market. We know how to look to politics and we know how to look to the headlines. Jesus is saying, look to me, put your trust in me and I will give you eternal life. He's saying, don't trust in yourselves, trust in me. Don't trust in your good works, trust in me. Trust in me to get to God. We're trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. And before Jesus was crucified, He shared a last meal around a table with His disciples. And it was Passover just 2 years later. And He had bread in His hands one last time. And He said, this bread represents my body. It's broken for you. So He took the bread, He blessed the bread, and He broke the bread, and then He gave it to him. And He said, this cup represents my blood that was shed for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me and remember that I am enough for you. And hours later, He went to the cross. He was beaten, He was betrayed, He was mocked, crown of thorns jammed in His head. His arms were stretched out on a beam. And as He was raised up on the cross, all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our crimes, all of our wrongs were placed on Him. The bread of life was broken for us so that you can be made right with God. And you say, well, I'm not good enough for God. Listen, none of us are. Jesus is the only one who lived a perfect life and He died in our place. That everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And listen, that's a promise. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear a virus. You don't have to fear hell. You don't have to fear rejection of God. If you put your trust in Jesus, He accepts you. Now, I realize that there are some who are listening to this message and you realize you've never trusted Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me. Today is your day. Like Katie, you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live with a sense of emptiness. Maybe you've tried everything to fill it. He says, come to me. The bread of life says, come to me. He will not reject you now or forever. So listen, if you want to trust Jesus today, I want to invite you to a prayer. I want to invite you to pray something like this. Father, thank you for loving me. And thank you for revealing yourself to me. And right now, I put my trust in you, Jesus. I need your forgiveness. I receive your grace. I believe that you are enough for me. And I trust you with my life. And I trust you for eternity. Thank you for saving me. Listen, if you made that your prayer, it's the most significant prayer that you'll ever pray. And so we want to hear about it. We want to know about it. I want to encourage you to take a moment and to text LIFE. Text the word LIFE to 615-270-2428 and share with us about the decision that you've made today so that we can pray for you and encourage you in your faith. Can you just say that again? Christ is enough for me. For thousands of years, the church has gathered with communion to be a tangible, practical expression of Christ being enough for us. And the symbols of the juice and of bread are the symbols of Christ's sufficiency in our lives. So if you have the elements, I want to encourage you, go ahead and grab them and kind of distribute them. A piece of bread and a bit of juice, and just hold it in your hands. And if you don't have the elements, it's okay. You use this as a time of reflection and worship. But as we prepare for communion, we also prepare our hearts. And so while they play a bit of a verse and chorus and sing before we partake, let's use this time to prepare our hearts. Ask God, God, would you search my heart? Is there anything I need to confess? Any sin that I need forgiveness for? And then I'll come back in a moment and I'll lead us through the elements together. So let's worship. Jesus gathered with his disciples and he said, I have so looked forward to sharing this meal with you. And he took the bread and he got it in his hands and he broke the bread. And he said, this is my body. This represents my body that was broken for you. So now you can partake. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant, represents my blood that was shed for you. He said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me so you can partake. And after they partook in the bread and they partook and the wine and the juice of the vine, Jesus took the disciples out into the night and they walked into the dark and they sang together as they left that upper room. Even though he knew that the cross was hours away, they were still singing.
I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before.